So tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness. That is our topic tonight. And yes, if you go ahead and put that up for me. A life-changing pathway to peace. You know, this is one of those topics that we just don't ever get past. We always need to know more about it. We need to be more discerning about forgiveness and the level in our heart that we have. And there's just, it's pretty deep, even though we might think it's kind of 101 Christianity. There's so much that God's Word says about forgiveness. Lots of stories in the Old Testament, lots of stories in the New Testament. As I was thinking about this and I was praying about, you know, just teaching, I remembered a time, and some of you have heard Eddie tell this, but this really happened, which makes it just more amazing. When we lived in Mississippi and Eddie was pastoring there, he got a call from a fellow who had graduated seminary with him and a dear friend of ours who was also pastoring just down the road. And another pastor had come to him with a situation. They had a church member die, and the family of the church member bought a big gold cross. And they came in and they put it, in front of the pulpit. And so it was, pulpit down, you've seen them, the wooden down, and it came up like this. So we'd like, ministers want to be in the shadow of the cross, but literally you couldn't, the pastor couldn't see around the cross. So he kindly, the pastor, moved it to the side. There was a table on the side, and when they came back to the next service, it was back in front of the pulpit. So this went on for a little while, them moving it back and forth, and it finally just was causing a lot of contention in the church, and they had a vote. What to do with cross. And they voted to put it on the table. They wanted to honor, the people and the memory and the cross, but they wanted to be able to see their pastor preach. So the family was very upset and they stormed out of the service. And when the church people came back to the next service, all of the doors, the keyholes, were filled with super glue. Really happened, folks, just down the road from where we live. The people who didn't get their way were so upset that they said, if we can't have it our way, nobody's going to go in that church and worship. And of course, they got the doors fixed. But that's one story of unforgiveness that just took over. You know, if we're not careful, when something upsets us and it becomes a forgiveness issue, it can cloud our thinking. It can take over our emotions. It can cause us to be irrational and do stupid stuff, like filling somebody's door locks with super glue. Well, the Bible has so many verses about forgiveness as I was looking at this, and verses that talk about God forgiving us, us forgiving others, all kinds of verses about how willing God is to forgive us, and verses that command us to forgive. And then stories about people, real people, who forgave others. You know, the Bible says these things are examples for us. So we have these examples in the Scripture of people and how they forgave. We're so thankful for that. We have Old Testament stories, God and Israel over and over and over again. Israel sins, goes astray, repents, God forgives them. So Joseph, what about the story of Joseph and how he forgave his brothers? You know, if you think about it, we just read that story and sometimes we don't really get into the depth of what happened. I mean, they threw him in a pit, left him for dead. He got sold into slavery. He spent years and years and years away from his family. But later he said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. What a heart. Can we have that heart for people tonight? King David forgiving Saul. And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus forgiving the woman caught in adultery. We see Jesus on the cross forgiving the people, forgiving those who are mocking him. We see Stephen forgiving as he was stoned to death. We see an example of Paul writing to Philemon and saying, hey, I want you to receive Onesimus and I want you to forgive him. So the Bible is full of stories about how we need to forgive, how God forgives us. And tonight I just wanted to walk you through some of the various parts of forgiveness and what the Word tells us. And I hope some of you may want to take some notes. I've got several scriptures that we're going to look at. You know, we are all guilty of sin. Every one of us. We're all guilty. And the Bible tells us that we must repent. And that we have to forgive others, whether their sin against us is big or small. And as I was praying about this today, I realized that some of you, it is a big thing that you have to forgive. I was aware, and I felt that some of you have some really serious things that have happened to you, that have broken your heart. And those are real situations, and God doesn't minimize those, and we don't minimize them either. But as that first slide said, forgiveness is your pathway to peace. So no matter how big or how small, the answer is that we have to let go. And this is a definition of forgiveness. I thought we would define it so we know what we're talking about. The definition of forgiveness is essentially the act of pardoning an offender. We hear that the governor has pardoned someone or the president has pardoned someone. But this is biblical. It is the act of pardoning an offender, and we are the offenders. In the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness means let it go. Let it go. As when a person does not demand payment for a debt. Now, if you have a debt with someone and they walk up to you and say, hey, it's paid, you don't have to pay it. We'll be dancing, shouting, hallelujah, that's awesome. But that's what biblical forgiveness means. God says to us, you don't have to pay the debt. Jesus paid it all. And we say that to others. You don't have to pay the debt you owe me. I let it go. Forgiveness means you give up all of your rights to revenge. We live in a society that is on fire. We're talking about being on fire. Our society is on fire with rights. I have a right to this and I got a right to that. And heaven forbid you express your opinion anywhere because you will be toasted and burned alive on Facebook and anywhere else that you dare express an opinion because you are infringing on someone's rights. It's insane the world we live in. But forgiveness means, even though you have a technical right to be offended, you let it go. You give it up. Forgiveness is when you choose not to get even. You make a choice. It is a choice. You choose not to get even. And if that person is getting really blessed, and you even had an opportunity to kind of throw a wrench in it, you wouldn't do it. You let it go. You could even rejoice that someone is being blessed. That is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness means I will not even try to get even with the person who wronged me. If that sounds impossible, it is, apart from the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ in your heart. It's a high bar. It's a bar so high we can't reach it in and of ourselves. But we can reach it with God's help. Well, what is forgiveness not? Let's talk about that for a minute. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay. Sometimes, as I said, something really bad happened. And for you forgiving someone doesn't have anything at all with saying it was okay. That doesn't even factor in. Forgiveness is not always the restoration of a relationship. Oftentimes it is. Sometimes it's not, depending on what happened. But forgiveness is about your heart. Forgiveness, and this one you might be surprised, forgiveness is not always about forgetting. Now, we know that God puts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore. But Paul said, hey, remember that guy, Alexander the coppersmith? He did me lots of evil. I'm just giving you a heads up. Now, I think Paul forgave him, but he also was like, having some wisdom here, and I want you to be wise and be careful. So forgiveness, doesn't always mean forgetting. And when we say that you have to completely forget, I think there are biblical examples that show that that's not always true. It's about your heart. It's about how you remember. Do you remember with an intent to get even? Do you remember with pain in your heart? I believe that we can forgive to the point that we no longer feel pain. We can get to the point that the pain is gone when we remember. We might still feel sad. We might still feel regret. But we can get to the point where there's no pain. Forgiveness is not about earning something. We don't earn forgiveness. We don't earn forgiveness with God. And it's not about that. And it's not always easy. Matter of fact, it's often not easy. But God calls us to some things that are hard. And part of the Christian life is sacrifice and dying to yourself and dying to your flesh. And so forgiveness is not always easy. The Western church has been duped into thinking that everything will always be easy. If you're really walking with God and you're really walking forgiveness, sometimes you are dying over and over again before you get to that point where you are free. So it can be a process. It doesn't mean if you ask God to forgive someone and say, I forgive them, Lord, and you pray through it, but it still feels like it's there. It doesn't mean that you're not in the process. You just have to keep on. Keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on until you feel it, the peace. Until the offense is gone. So it's not always an easy process. As I was thinking about this, I remembered when I first got saved and what that felt like. Because that is how we all come into the knowledge of forgiveness, right? What it means to have our sins forgiven. I remember, as a little girl, I remember praying from the time I was 5. I can remember praying in my bedroom. But we had a revival at our church. You know, we have the 2 revivals a year, the week-long revivals. A lot of you grew up with that. And so in one of those revivals, I was under so much conviction. And I knew I needed to get saved. But I was wrestling with that. But we had, my dad had chicken houses. We had a farm and we had chicken houses, and I worked in the chicken house just about every day, and that's why I will never have my own chickens. I need Sozo over that. But I remember actually being working in the chicken house and wrestling with God over, would I surrender? Would I ask Him to forgive me? Would I surrender my life? I remember that happening in the chicken house while I was gathering eggs. Me and God and about 10,000 chickens. And so then later I made that public. But the peace that came when I made that decision, everything inside my heart changed. You know, it wasn't that as a 10-year-old girl I had done so many terrible bad things, but I didn't have peace with God because there were things that I had done that were, that was against God's law, that were sinful. I'd broken His law and I needed to make that right. So this same kind of forgiveness, that same kind of peace that we get when we get saved, we can have in our daily lives and we can offer that to other people. Well, what are some signs that you might be struggling a little bit forgiving people? There are lots of them, but I couldn't help but think about this verse, Ephesians 4:31. Here are some symptoms of unforgiveness. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And that's the New King James Version. The Amplified mentions, it defines clamor as perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding. Some other versions mention spitefulness, cursing, shouting, rage, and quarreling. These things can come out of unforgiveness in your heart. You might be making some snide remarks when things are mentioned, just little jab here or there. Maybe you've got some forgiveness issues going on. Maybe you're being passive aggressive or you're blaming people. You could even be sick. Sickness sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's a result of unforgiveness in your life. Maybe you're keeping a list of offenses. When you think about that person, you can go, and they did this, and they said that, and they did this, and they looked at me this way, and then they talked to that person, and this, and this, and this. So you have this list that you can just replay it right there in your mind. Maybe you gossip about them. Christians can tend to, you know, we might not physically try to get revenge, but we might just, when somebody's mentioned, we might say, well, you know, They're not really who you think they are. They're not really that nice person. They did this kind of thing. So that kind of thing shows unforgiveness, revenge seeking, bringing up the past. Now, I see this a lot in couple counseling, and of course it can happen in any relationship, but a lot of times I see this when I'm working with couples, is when they get in a fight. Maybe this thing hadn't been mentioned in a while, but when they get in a fight, it's just a good time to bring up that thing that you just want to get that point. That thing that happened, thing that was said, that thing that they did. Biblically, we're told that love keeps no record of wrongs. So when we forgive someone, we also have to what? Let it go. We have to let it go. A lack of peace can mean you're having trouble forgiving. If you're not living in peace, maybe you need to look at your heart. Is there someone you need to forgive? Anger, as we said back in this scripture. And I find anger and entitlement are really linked together. So I talked about having a right. You hear this, you know, the anger and the entitlement going together. He shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have done that. You know, it's a very entitled thing that we can feel sometimes when we are angry and we haven't forgiven. Paul said in Ephesians 4, be angry and what? Okay, so he acknowledges we'll be angry at times, but we can be angry without sinning if we walk in wisdom. We can work through that anger. We can pray through that anger. We can do the things that need to be done and not sin. So anger in and of itself is not always a bad thing, but anger can lead to bitterness if you don't resolve it. Bitterness leads to a root of bitterness, and a root of bitterness can lead to revenge seeking. We have to deal with these things when they are smaller. Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why does it say that? Because if we deal with it when it's small, It doesn't turn into a root of bitterness. If you hear that root of bitterness, it's down under the ground. It's just the roots are going everywhere. And you can't pull it up quite so easily anymore because it has a root system. So we have to deal with these offenses early. So now that we have defined what forgiveness is and looked at signs of unforgiveness, let's spend some time talking about how we forgive other people. This is the meat and potatoes. How do we forgive other people? The next verse, right after the one we just read, the next verse in Ephesians says this, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. How do we forgive other people? Well, first of all, we've got to be mindful that God in Christ forgave me. I didn't deserve it. I'd done nothing to earn it. Free gift, God's grace and mercy, God in Christ forgave me. So I'm no better than you. I've also sinned. And so when I think about that, I know I need to forgive other people. And we are commanded over and over again to have these kind of attributes, tenderheartedness, compassion, being kind to one another. It is a choice. Notice that. We looked at what that scripture a minute ago where it's basically indicating it's a choice. I like to pray this way when I'm struggling with forgiving somebody. I would say, in the name of Jesus, by an act of my will. Not because I feel like it, but I choose by an act of my will and in faith. I need God's help. Okay? By an act of my will and in faith, I choose to forgive this person. I let it go. It is a choice you make. And there are no prerequisites. How many times have you heard people say, well, I'm going to forgive them when they tell me they're sorry, or when they acknowledge what they did wrong, or when they bring that thing back, or whatever. But biblical forgiveness has no prerequisites. You don't get to make a demand on the prerequisites. Now, remember I said you don't always have to restore a relationship depending on what has happened. But to offer the forgiveness, you don't get to have prerequisites. There are none. I forgive because God in Christ forgave me. Period. Now, here are four scriptures that we're going to look at about forgiveness, and I just have the references there, so I'm going to read them to you, and you are familiar with them, I'm quite sure. Jesus said this, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Whoa, if you have anything against anyone. Are you going to get out of that? I mean, it's on both. Anything, anyone. Jesus said we have to forgive. And he takes it up a notch. Matthew 6:15. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What a serious scripture. When we're struggling to forgive people, we just need to read that over and over and over and over again. If we're going to receive the Father's forgiveness, we have to forgive other people. Matthew 18:21. I love this story. Then Peter came to Jesus and Peter's like, okay, I get it. We got to forgive people. Okay, but Lord, how often If my brother comes to me and asks for forgiveness, how often do I have to do that? He's like, up to 7 times? He's like, that's a bunch. Man, that's like 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And meaning there is no limit. So anytime, anywhere, no limit, forgiveness. I was talking to a girl the other day. She told me, she said, I'm going to write a book called 491. And I just cracked up because I knew what she meant. We have to keep on. We don't get to stop. We think 7 times is a bunch. And Jesus said, nope. Think how many times he's forgiven us in the length of time you've been alive. How many times has the Lord offered you forgiveness? It's more than 490 times. Colossians 3:12, Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, therefore, as elect of God, this is who you are, you're God's people, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Can you just hear it? Long-suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. And then he reminds us, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. He didn't suggest it. He didn't say it's a good idea. He said, you must do this. Anytime, anywhere, no matter how many times, forgiving other people. Forgiving other people benefits us. It gives us back our peace. It is so important. As I think about forgiveness, I thought about the story of Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you know the story of Corrie Ten Boom? If you haven't, you can watch the movie, read the book. Amazing story. I found it to be fascinating that Corrie's great-grandfather, back in 1844, 100 years before most of us pick up the story, he was having prayer meetings to pray for the Jewish people and his family. Their family would gather together to pray for the Jewish people. So 100 years later, Corrie and her family are arrested because they have been hiding the Jews. And history tells us they probably helped about 800 people get to safety. What an amazing sacrifice they made. But someone turned them in, and so the family is arrested. Corrie and her family are arrested. Over time, 4 of her family members are killed. So there's a lot of pain that Corrie has when the war ends, and she feels like God tells her to go everywhere and tell people that they can be forgiven. Go everywhere and tell them about God. And so she's doing just that after she got out of the concentration camp. For 33 years, she did that. One day as she was preaching and ministering and telling how God could forgive people, and she was just sharing it like, sort of like it was easy. I'm going to read you part of this. A bald man in a gray overcoat stepped forward to greet her, and she froze. She knew the man. He'd been one of the most vicious guards, one who had mocked the women prisoners as they showered. It came back to me with a rush, she said, the huge room we would be in and the harsh overhead lights, the pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor and the shame of having to walk past this man naked. And now he was holding out his hand to her. And he said this, a fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. She said, I, who spoke so glibly about forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. Probably didn't remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among so many? But I remembered him. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood froze. He said, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard there. But since that time, I have become a Christian. I know God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, out came the hand again, would you forgive me? She said, as I stood there, I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, I could not forgive. My sister Betsy died in that place. Could he erase her terrible death simply by walking down and asking? Soldiers stood there expectantly, waiting for Corey to shake his hand. She wrestled with the most difficult thing she said she'd ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who've injured us. Standing there before the former SS man, Corey remembered that forgiveness is an act of the will, not an emotion. Jesus, help me, she prayed. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. She thrust out her hand, and as she did, she said an incredible thing took place. Current started running down her shoulder, raced down her arm, and sprang into the place where their hands were joined. And then this healing warmth of heat flooded her whole being and brought tears to her eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I'd never known God's love so intensely as I did then. And even so, I realized it wasn't my love. I tried, but I didn't have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing testimony. What an amazing story to inspire us to forgive other people. As difficult as it might be to forgive other people, asking for forgiveness from others can also be tough. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's talk about asking the Father for forgiveness. We have this wide open invitation. Come to the throne of mercy and grace. Come, get forgiveness. But sometimes we have a hard time asking for that forgiveness. Sometimes we feel ashamed. Sometimes it takes a lot of humility. But we have this amazing invitation. He is faithful and just. So when you're asking the Lord for forgiveness, remember it's not because you earned it. It's because He is faithful and just. And you might have to rehearse that in your head. Lord, I don't deserve this. I didn't earn it. But you are faithful and just. You said if I confess, Lord. So we ask for forgiveness. And do it before the sun goes down. Asking God and asking others. We might find it a little easier to ask God than to ask other people. Because when we ask other people, it requires humility. Please forgive me for... And don't make any excuses because that's not really asking forgiveness. Just forgive me, I was really in a bad mood that day. Please forgive me. You know, if you hadn't have done that, please forgive me. Blah, blah. Just ask forgiveness. It does require humility, but you know how many times in the scripture we're told over and over and over and over again that we need to be humble. We need to have humble hearts. And this is hard sometimes, but it is part of Christianity, asking for forgiveness. And lastly, accepting forgiveness. It can be difficult to accept forgiveness from God and from other people. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's about grace. If you have a hard time accepting God's forgiveness, we have to remember that it is about grace. It is about His grace. We can't pay it back. If you feel guilt and condemnation, it's okay just to repeat that scripture over and over and over and over again and say, it's about your grace, Lord. It's about your grace. I accept your forgiveness based on Jesus, based on His blood, based on grace. And keep saying it until it gets in your spirit, in your heart. Remember, it is not about feelings whatsoever. But feelings do come when the forgiveness, yeah, at a certain point. Sometimes you have to war through it, but you will get there, and the feelings will eventually line up. So as the worship team's coming, I want to read this last scripture to you. Beautiful passage in Psalm 103 about forgiveness. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As the Father pities His children, the Lord pities those who fear Him, and He knows our frame and remembers we are dust. The Lord has mercy on us. He is kind and gracious. And He wants you to experience what it means to live a life understanding forgiveness. His forgiveness, forgiving other people, receiving forgiveness, is all part of the Christian life. So as we stand together, I want you to bow your heads for a minute. And I want to lead you through a couple of prayers. So, dear Lord, as we started this service and we said, come, Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to show us any issues of unforgiveness that we have in our heart. Now, I'm just going to be quiet for a moment. I just want you to ask the Father and ask Him if there's anybody that you need to forgive. And let's just trust the Holy Spirit to bring things to our remembrance. And if a name or a face or a situation comes to you, just say, Father, I choose by an act of my will and in faith to forgive that person for how they hurt me or hurt my family member or whatever. I release them. I let it go. With your help, Lord, Holy Spirit, with your help, I choose to forgive. Stay in this place for a moment. There might be other names that come to you, other faces, other situations that come to you. I want us to leave tonight with clean slate. Now let's ask the Lord, is there someone we need to ask for their forgiveness? Are you having a hard time accepting the forgiveness of the Father? Maybe you need to come and pray about any of these situations that we've mentioned. Our prayer team will be here to pray with you, or the altars are open for you to come and just kneel before the Lord, whatever He might be speaking to your heart. As we stand and let's respond to the Word of God, anything that He says to you tonight, whether it's about forgiveness or some other thing that's on your heart. Lord, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is alive and well and speaks to us as Your people. Strengthen us, Lord, to walk an unoffendable life with Your grace, Your mercy, being very mindful that You have forgiven us. Lord, may we be willing anytime, anywhere, any number of times to have Your heart, Jesus, for other people. Lord, may we not expect lost people to act like saved people, Lord. May we give grace to weak people who just aren't strong yet. Help us to be those shining lights in the world, Lord. A city set on a hill with hearts full of peace and forgiveness. And the worship team going to sing for a moment, and then I'm going to pray one other thing for you. Feel free to respond in your seat or to come forward. Some prayer team members, please.